Emily Liddell.
And I'm Kyle Cacciadorian.
And you're listening to another episode of The Accessible Stall.
Emily, what are we going to talk about today?
We're going to talk about being that guy.
Oh, I hate that guy.
Ugh, me too.
Emily, who's that guy?
Right. That would help. So, have you ever been in a situation where you're having a conversation and somebody feels the need to stop you and correct you or make some kind of addendum to something that you said because it's somehow wrong or incorrect or inappropriate? And so they just cut off the conversation and ruin the flow.
I'm in that situation about twice a month. I do this thing called the accessible stall. And it happens to me a lot in there. And I do it to my co-host, too. So, yes.
So, you're that guy.
And you're that guy.
Oh, God.
We're the worst.
We really hate ourselves.
Not ourselves, each other.
Right. Oh, right. You're right. I'm great. You're not. Ugh. So, anyway, now that we've gotten our hatred affirmations out of the way, I was in this situation the other day, and this is one of a gazillion examples that I can think of, but it's the most recent that prompted this episode, where I was out to dinner with a group of friends, and throughout the evening, various disability-related topics came up, but none of my friends identify as having disabilities, the ones that I was out with. And so they were using terminology like special needs, and then they were talking about someone who's autistic, and they were saying high functioning and not low functioning, using functioning labels. And I struggled mightily, and I actually have struggled before with this particular group, as to whether I should interrupt the conversation to say that I'm really uncomfortable with the term special needs and that I'm really uncomfortable with functioning labels, and to correct them to use a term like disability, and instead of functioning labels to talk about specific things that a person may or may not be able to do, without labeling them with this blanket high functioning or low functioning statement. And you might think, oh, well, because they're your friends, they would understand. And yeah, I'm sure they would. But I just didn't know what to do. And despite the fact that I am a loudmouthed activist every darn day of my life, I find myself freezing up in situations like that and not knowing if I should cut people off to correct them or if that's really an effective thing to do.
I've also been in that situation, but I think what you're saying speaks to a slightly larger topic, which is that in our world, in any world where you do sort of activism, you tend to give those you love a pass when they do things wrong. It's because you love them. And although this is a very specific type of pass, that issue, I think, entrenches all kinds of activism circles where it's like, oh, you know, my grandparents who voted for Donald Trump aren't terrible people. You know, for example, you say that because they're your grandparents, but anyone else, you could, you know, you might be one of those people who are like, no, he's terrible because of X, Y, Z. But I definitely have been in that situation in regards to disability before. Very recently with my own mother, we were talking about some autistic gentleman, about an article that she'd seen in the Post, and she was using functioning labels to describe him as high functioning. And I didn't correct her because it just wasn't the meat of the conversation wouldn't have changed, and we both knew what we meant, and there was no reason for me to correct her. Like, I'm okay with correcting somebody when, if their incorrect definition is like objectively wrong, or their incorrect label is objectively wrong, but I'm not really keen to do it if all I'm changing is the label itself and not really the meaning behind it. Right? So like if I don't know, like the R word, maybe like I might say, hey, you know, that's a don't do that. But when it's something like perhaps a slur isn't the best example because that, you know, because that's a slur. But like if what I'm saying changes the meaning of it, then yes, I'll correct you. But if it's just the word, the label itself, then no, it's not worth my time usually.
Yeah, I can see the point. I mean, I've also been in this situation, too, although I've changed my ways, where people very close to me have used the R word. And this was quite some time ago, where I would say absolutely nothing and just flinch internally. But lately, I will correct people and I will say that I really don't appreciate you using that word as something derogatory or as a slur. It's really inappropriate. And it gives people pause, but it also makes people super uncomfortable because they know they said something wrong and they know that they shouldn't do it again. And I've given them a pretty good reason as to why, but then the conversation becomes super awkward. And so I sort of apply that experience to other conversations where it's not necessarily a slur, but just a word that really bothers me.
You know, it's interesting that you say it that way, because in my experience, I find similarly that people are more likely to respond if you say, or in the way that you respond in the way you want them to, rather, if you say, you shouldn't say this because it bothers me, rather than, oh, you shouldn't say this because it's bad, because, oh, it's bad, so what, right? But if it bothers you and you're my friend, then I shouldn't do it because then now I'm hurting you.
That's a good point. I hadn't really thought about it like that. I mean,
I thought that's the point you were making. Sorry.
But no. It isn't. The point that I was trying to make was just that I'm trying to do our favorite thing, which is pick our battles. And it's difficult because the R word actively causes a reaction. It causes a visceral reaction within me. I get very upset and very angry. And you're right. I do say that it bothers me, but I also try to contextualize it and say that it's just generally an awful, awful thing to say. Something like special needs is harder because it's not a slur. And I also have to give an explanation. You know what I'm saying? So part of me feels like, well, I could just explain it once. I can explain why special needs is a problematic term. But the reality is that then I'm going to have to launch into a whole thing. It's going to be like a mini lecture in the middle of an otherwise free-flowing conversation. And I feel like a hypocrite for not always wanting to do that, for wanting to take off my activist hat, put it on a shelf, and recognize that there was no derogatory meaning behind a friend's use of the word special needs. But if I'm giving a talk or if I'm in some kind of activism setting, because special needs is still rampantly used even by people who should know better, and then I am so quick to correct you. So do I have double standards or am I a hypocrite or what is it?
Well, I think in the case of people who should know better, it is a double standard, but one that should exist. I don't think that makes you a hypocrite. Although I will say, although you might disagree with the term special needs, and Lord knows I do too, in most cases, if that's how someone self-identifies, I can't fault them for it. I can't even disagree with them. Like, if that's what they want to do, that's just what they want to do. But when it's someone else referring to a group of people or a person in particular, then sure, you have a case. This vaguely reminds me of that Onion article where it's like internet feminist takes 30-minute break to enjoy favorite TV show.
Yes, that's exactly it.
We'll link it in the show notes, but the feeling that, yeah, right? I imagine that that's what you feel.
It happens all the time with disability related things where there is something that I should technically get up in arms about, but I'm too busy enjoying the rest of the TV show.
But then, I mean, with that, like, that is all picking your battles, right? But, like, what do you gain out of it in the context of it's your friends at dinner? Like, at a conference, yes, that's why you're there. You're there to educate and discuss things and, you know, you're doing your thing. And that's what the purpose of the conference is for. But, like, if you're having dinner with your friends and she says a mildly off-color thing that's not a slur, is it worth breaking the flow of the conversation? And then putting your friend on the defense, no less.
It's so tough because I really feel like I could do a better job of educating about stuff like that, about functioning labels, about using euphemisms to refer to disability. But at the same time, I guess I sort of separate my activism self from some of my friendships. And so this particular group of friends, not at all from an activist-y circle. And technically, all my work is about educating people who are outside that particular bubble. And so really, that's the most opportune time for me to be speaking up. And yet it's the least opportune time. And I haven't exactly figured out how to handle the situation yet, because I know it's going to keep happening. These topics come up almost every time I see this particular group of friends. And I don't know if I should just head it off right away by saying, look, I've noticed that over the course of our friendship, which has been a long time now, that you always say these things and, you know, you're friends with me and I guess you don't really see much of my work that I do in my disability activism life because you see me separate from that. But I want you to know that part of my work is talking about why these terms are problematic. But then I'm going to sound like I'm giving a lecture.
And you don't want to do that with your friends, because that's why with your, you know, you're with your friends, you don't want to work too. Like, there's that element of like you doing the separating between your work and your pleasure yourself. Insofar as when you're having dinner with your friends, the last thing you want to do is lecture them about anything, because that's work.
Yeah, exactly. When I have a mouthful of guacamole, which let's be honest is quite often, but when I have a mouthful of guacamole, I'm off. Like, I'm not working.
Right. But I think if it happens with a certain group of friends all the time, I don't know why that would be. But if it does happen that often, it wouldn't. I mean, don't do it with a mouthful of guacamole, but, you know, maybe after dinner, it's like, hey, you know, I noticed you said this thing and it kind of bothers me for X, Y, Z. But I mean, I don't know. I would not do that. So I can't tell you what to do. Like,
I feel so awkward about it because
it would bother me to. Yeah.
It's not slurs that they're using, although some people do consider, you know, euphemisms or functioning labels to be slurs. But I don't really see that. I just see them as words that are bothersome and troublesome. And I guess it's all about intention for me, too. I really, really try to tell myself that nothing is ill-intentioned when certain people say it, but I'm just making excuses for them. And I'm making excuses for myself. If I'm an activist the rest of the time and they can't be troubled to learn more about my perspectives just from the stuff that I put out into the world, then whose responsibility is it? theirs to figure it out or mine to educate them.
No, it's theirs. You did your part. You put it out.
But I didn't put it out directly in their faces.
Of course you didn't, because that would make you that guy. That's what this is all about. But see, that's we mentioned this the other week. It's like, that's why I don't mind educating people all the time, because I don't do this. But you do. And so I would assume that, like, I don't know. I find that weird. I really, really think, unless it's like completely egregious, like the worst racial slur or ableist slur, whatever you can possibly think of, like in your head right now listening to this, think of the worst thing you can think of. If it's that thing, then I'll say something. But if it's just something I don't like to something that is mildly incorrect, it's like, it's not worth my time. Like, it's going to cause an argument that neither of us want to have.
You know, this has me thinking about the absolute most awkward encounters with things that I've had to correct. And more than once, with different people, I don't quite know how to say this without making myself sound a little risque over here, but on separate occasions while making out with people, they have used the R word literally mid makeout session.
How? Well, you're not doing it right.
One was to say how R wordly attracted they were to me, and the other one was just to like make some kind of a joke about how R worded something was that I can't really remember the context of. And the first time I said nothing for bachelor number one. And then I went home and stewed about it like I had just been slapped in the face. And then time number two, when it happened, I was like, oh, no, not this time. Not this time. No. And in case you're wondering, I was like sassy finger waving. Well, I just said that just now.
There was literally an episode of Speechless about that exact situation. Your life is a sitcom episode.
Oh, no. And even worse, my life is Ray's life.
Yeah, he's the loser.
Oh, no.
I didn't know that. You didn't. I
surprise.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Well, I have nothing to say to that. Like, that's
what do you? It's so awkward.
That's an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm right there. Like, that's really like
to say that you are so R-wordedly attracted to me. It's like, wow, you're like really attracted to me, but also like, wow, you're a real ass.
Yeah. Like, so, you didn't think that one through, did you? Oh, God. Oh, wow. I am speechless. No pun intended. You are speechless.
Yeah. What do you do? What do you do? Especially because these were, like, both newer situations. One of those situations is no longer in my life. The other situation knows that if he says the R word in front of me, he's going to get yelled at.
Okay, but well, maybe you should elaborate on that a little bit, because I am so incredibly curious, because I don't think that I could do anything you just said at all. I would like to believe that I could give the speech as to why a certain word is bad, and I know that I can, but not in that situation, my friend. So how did you do that?
You know, like, you should really insert the sound of the record scratching here, because
don't worry.
That's how I felt.
I got you.
I was just like, what? Yeah, but time number one, I was just so caught off guard that I said absolutely nothing. And we parted ways for completely different reasons that had nothing to do with that. But like, I don't want that nonsense in my life anyway. And time number two, I just flat out like, time out, like, you're really cute and I'm into you, but that is not an okay word to say. And then he corrected himself to something else. And
Was it something just as bad? I'd be curious. Like, did he miss the mark?
It was probably, like, stupid or dumb, which also are arguably bad, but, like...
No, they're not. But okay. We did a whole episode on those ones already.
So, and then we probably went right back to making out. And, you know, that's positive reinforcement right there.
That's true. That's true. That's very true. That's a very good point.
I don't know what this episode is making me sound
like. That's the greatest thing I've ever heard. Like, I don't, I can't even imagine that situation.
You know, I'm thinking about it right now, and I can barely imagine it, and I've been in it.
Wait a second. This just took away all your credibility from earlier. How is it that you can stop making out with somebody mid-kissing, but you can't tell your friends not to say something over dinner that you've...
I don't know. Because the R word bothers me that much.
Fair point. That word is probably... Like, a lot worse, but like, still.
There's a big difference to me. Okay, so, like, when I'm having dinner and my mouth is full of guacamole and there's a margarita in front of me, I'm not super in the heat of any moment, right? So, if somebody
You're
says...
You're eating guacamole wrong.
I'm in the heat of that moment, always. If somebody says special needs or high functioning, there's no record scratch moment for me there. There's just like a bit of a cringe. But when I'm literally in the heat of the moment with somebody and he says something like that, that is like the loudest possible record scratch you have ever heard in your life. You go from being so into it to being like, take your face off my face right now.
That... Yes, I don't know. I would have to be in that situation myself, and I hope I never am. That is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life. That is so funny.
You know, it that's not what prompted this episode. And meanwhile, both of those have happened in the time that we've been doing this podcast. But for some reason, the friend thing bothers me so much more because they're my friends. They're not just a guy. I should feel comfortable saying something.
You like your friends. You don't necessarily. Well, I don't know. I would have to. I can't do that. But maybe you can.
Let's not question my life choices right now.
No. But I'm saying, like,
my other life choices.
No. What I meant is that you have a relationship with your friends already.
Yes. Especially this particular group. I have known them for so long. You know what? Since this seems to be all about my awkward encounters, I'm going to tell you another awkward time with the R word. So I showed up to one of my best friend's classes to give a lecture. She's a teacher. And I literally gave a lecture about disability. And then she went to go write my website on the board for her students. And she misspelled it. And then she goes, oh my God, I'm so R-word, in front of the whole class. And I literally turned around and I was like, did you hear anything I just said in the last hour and a half?
You know, now that you mention that, I do have one instance with that word.
Oh, thank God, because I am tired of telling my stories.
But it's appropriate. So I used to work for a disability-centered foundation, and they... We're having their first big gala since like 5 years ago. So it was a big deal. And there was a bunch of hired help. And on the day of the gala, they didn't want to pay for internet. Like, it was like a dumb fee that they didn't want to pay. It was something like 15 extra bucks. And so I jerry-rigged my phone to like do that mobile hotspot thing. And this woman who I didn't know. Like, she was just hired help, but she was hired help from the, not from the venue, like from the organization we were partnering with to do this party, this gala. And she said, what am I putting this password in wrong?
Don't use the word. You better bleep it out.
And I said, and this is the only time I said anything. Like, I said to her, excuse me, but do you know where you are? Like, If this was anywhere else, I would have just looked at you funny and I wouldn't have said a word. But this is for a disability foundation. And that is the one word that we don't use in this building right now. You said the one thing. You had one job, which was don't say that. I didn't say it like that. Like I'm being dramatic now. But she was very embarrassed. Like it was so just
you
like
called her out on it.
Not in, but I took her to the side. I'm like, look, not here. Like not anywhere, but like especially not here, not right now. That like if there was at least okay time to use that word, you picked it. But she, to her credit, like she was extremely embarrassed and she sort of realized as soon as I was as soon as she realized what I was saying, she was like,
does
oh
anybody
my God.
Really get credit for like being, no. I don't give anybody credit if they are apologetic after using a slur because they shouldn't have used it in the first place.
No, you're right. But the embarrassment is sort of a, I don't know. I don't feel good about it. I really don't like to do it. And that's the only time I've ever done it. But it was because of the extenuating circumstances that it had to be done. You just don't do that, you know? But go on. Tell me more of your stories because it's the only one I got.
Well, I mean, the rest of my stories are pretty inconsequential compared to what I already said. But the fact remains that I always worry about being that guy. And I have my activism hat on so much that sometimes I just want to take it off, put it down for a little while, and realize that the world is not crumbling under my wheelchair just because I didn't correct somebody because they said special needs instead of disabled.
I mean, I really don't think that's a big deal, though.
It's not a big deal, but it's been weighing on me a lot because it's become a particularly common issue. And I think in listening to myself talk about it, I realized that I need to talk to this particular group of friends. So I can handle that situation, but these situations in and of themselves are not going to stop happening anytime soon. And I am forever trying to figure out a balance and am I just giving them a free pass? Like it's like you said before, you were talking to your mom.
Yeah.
Are you giving your mom a free pass or you just don't feel like getting into it with her?
No, both. My mom, she quote unquote knows better when it comes to CP and stuff, but there's literally no reason for her to know anything about autism spectrum disorder. None.
Right.
So like, is that because I know something she doesn't that is semi-related to me almost if you squint your brain? Am I wrong in not correcting her? No, I don't think so. I don't. And I don't think you are a bad activist for not correcting your friends who all you're trying to do is enjoy their company over dinner in that moment.
Specifically Mexican food.
Oh, especially Mexican. That's like your favorite thing. You know, if it was like particularly bad food and like it was taking forever and it arrived cold and you already all got sick of complaining about the restaurant, then maybe bring up the fact that special needs probably isn't the best word to use or something. I don't know. I just feel like my point is there's a time and place and that probably isn't it. Right? I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. Neither do I, because every situation is unique and very context dependent, especially in my life, because I find myself in all kinds of weird, ridiculous situations.
How did he say the R word with his tongue in your mouth?
Or have I guess you it made was. Out with somebody before? Because you definitely don't just stay there the whole time.
I don't talk, I'll tell you that.
You don't talk to the person you're making out with?
No.
Oh, I'm no. Really annoying. I will like no. Have a conversation with you while your face is on my face.
That is, you're, no. I've never disagreed with you more on anything in my life.
In case anybody has ever wondered if Kyle and I are together, that is literally your answer.
Yeah, no way. Like, how is that even possible? We're going to have to talk about this later.
I literally don't understand the mechanics of making out later.
I think this all boils down to like tact, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's not very tactful for people to say something obnoxious either. But then again, who's the obnoxious one if they don't know they're being obnoxious?
Yeah, but it's like telling your friend they smell. You love them and you don't want to hurt their feelings, but they probably should know.
I will always tell my friend if they have food in their teeth.
Yeah, but that's okay. Why?
Because that's an embarrassment for them. They don't necessarily know that using a particular term is an embarrassment for them.
Because it's not. But that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
But if you frame it, like I said earlier, if you frame it in a context in which it hurts you and not you shouldn't do that, you'll probably have better luck. But you have to really care about it, too. And I don't know. I mean, I don't. And maybe that makes me a bad disabled person, but that's because I am a bad disabled person.
You are TM. The worst disabled person. So
yeah, I know.
This is a tough one for me. Because it's never going to go away. Not that anything that we ever talk about is suddenly going to go away. I mean, that's the reality of disability, is that it doesn't go away.
You said balance. I don't have balance, and so I am offended.
When did I say balance?
You literally just said balance.
I did? Wow, that just shows you I'm not even thinking about
it. I'm just kidding, but I'm not actually offended. You can't offend me. You can't offend me.
Oh, I can find many ways to offend you.
No, you can offend me, but you generally cannot offend me. It's hard.
Sticks and stones may break my bones.
But words will never hurt me.
No, words hurt worse. My gosh. Words are so... Ugh. Every time somebody complains to me that I'm just getting into the weeds and it's just a matter of semantics. No, what you say matters. But really, I just want to tell everybody to stop saying obnoxious things.
I feel like you have to have a good reason why. I'm not saying I disagree. I don't know if I agree because I don't know the term. I don't know the friends. I don't know the situation. But I think that if you're going to be that guy, you should have a good reason and you should have... And you should also be prepared for them to be very defensive, because no one likes to be told not to do something, even if it's something objectively bad. Hey, don't stick your finger in the electrical socket. Why? That's what every kid says, and then they do it, and then they learn why. But it's like...
I never stuck my finger in an electrical socket.
Well, Emily, that is the difference between you and me.
I did once leave a plastic cup in a burning oven.
Once in eighth grade, we were making cupcakes in home ec, and no one told me that you should not put the paper in the muffin tins that don't have muffin batter in them. So I almost set the room on fire. But you learn that lesson once.
I was making pretzels with my friend, and we used wax paper for the pretzels. And apparently you're not supposed to use wax paper. When you put things in the oven, you're supposed to use parchment paper. So we had pieces of pretzels because most of it was glued onto the melted wax. Also, don't put foil in the microwave while we're talking about things you shouldn't do.
Okay, I actually knew that when I was a child, though, so like...
I never put foil in the microwave.
But, and don't eat Tide Pods, because that's apparently a thing now.
Oh my God, I saw that! What are people doing? The literal, like, authorities had to weigh in on that. Stop it! Not that any of our listeners eat Tide Pods, and if you do, I'm sorry, you could just stop listening right now, because...
Yeah, we don't... If you eat Tide Pods, we actually don't listen. But I don't know, it's not just about disability. It really isn't. You know, like...
If you eat Tide Pods, do you burp bubbles?
These are the questions that I need answers to.
No, it's not about disability, because I've been in that situation for other things, too.
It's not just justice-related reasons. I mean, you have a friend that has, like, one hobby, and that's all they talk about, and it's really annoying, and you love them, and you don't want to hurt their feelings by saying, hey, you know, not everything has to be about artisanal cake pops, Janine. But somehow at my great Aunt Muriel's funeral, you've made this about artisanal cake pops. And I don't know how that's possible, but it's really annoying. But it's, I mean, I'm making up a situation and yeah, I don't have
what
to.
What the heck?
I'm just saying, though, it's like it applies to everything. It's not just disability.
But sometimes it's so challenging because it comes up when you're least expecting it. It's sort of the same thing as when you are really caught off guard by a comment in an argument, and then you think of a good response at 3 a.m. that night.
In the shower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess another example that's not disability related, but is still very much social justice related, is that I was recently out with a family friend who made a really racist comment, and I have known her to make racist comments in the past, and I don't know exactly how to address that because I don't know if it would be damaging to the family friendship, and so many people are going to be like, oh my god, you have a friend who's a racist, like, the dynamics and the nuances of that are so difficult to navigate. Because if that was the case, then I should also eliminate my grandmother from my life. You know, like, that's really hard. And it's even worse when it catches you off guard, because what do you say in the moment? Like, holy moly, that was not appropriate. But sometimes you're just, like, struck with silence because you're like, I cannot believe you just said that.
That reminds me of a story about my grandmother. Yeah. It wasn't mildly racist. It was mildly homophobic. But it's, to be fair, okay, my grandmother was an immigrant from Turkey in the 1940s. And English was her, like, fifth or sixth language.
How do you say to be fair, though? I mean, that, and I'm not saying that, like, it's your fault or her fault or anyone's fault, but where is the to be fair line? Where is it? When should you know better? Go on.
I'm only prefacing this because this is not, because I knew what she meant, even though that's not what she said. It's different when the remark is actually homophobic or racist or whatever. But it was I don't know. She used to think that I was gay, which is hilarious in retrospect. And she asked me if I was a gay once.
Oh.
Yeah, because it was just a language barrier thing. And I'm not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that for anyone who's wondering. I know it's hard to tell sometimes, but I told her, I'm like, hey, listen, you don't say the word A before that word. Like, just don't do it. And I didn't have to tell her why, because she didn't get it, because English grammar is hard when you're, you know, 75 and speak four other languages. But I corrected her because even though, like, if she said that to someone on the street, you know, she's a sweet little old lady, and I don't think anyone in their right mind would do anything to her. I didn't even want to imagine her in that situation to begin with. But again, I think that's a little bit different from, like, a family member or a dear friend making a remark that is actually homophobic or racist or whatever. But you raise an interesting point earlier, which is when do you speak up, right? Because, like, honestly, if somebody you know, no matter who it is willing to say something blatantly racist to you, and you correct them and say, oh, you shouldn't say that thing you said, right? I imagine that those are the same kinds of people to say something to the effect of, well, why do you care? You're white. Something like that.
Yeah.
Or you're racist for thinking that in the first place. You're racist for thinking what I said was racist or something like that. So the reason I bring that up is because if, you know, is it still worth correcting them if you know that's where you're headed? Because that's only going to make things worse. And I genuinely don't know the answer to it. I really don't.
You mean, like, if you say something and you know it's just going to bounce right off of them?
Yeah.
Then is it just that you're being the activist or the social justice minded person because it makes you feel good about you?
Yes, I think that answer is yes for everyone, period. I do believe that the majority of people in this world think that they want to do good, but I really, really, truly, from the bottom of my heart, believe that most people only do this because it makes themselves feel like a part of something. You know how people go to church? I don't know how people go to church, no. You don't?
I'm a Jew. I'm Jewish.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Well, okay. No, you literally don't. No, but I'm saying, I think that most people do this for a sense of community and for a sense of feeling like they belong. I don't think that they do this for a greater good. I think people think they do, and I'd argue that with anybody.
I totally would argue against that. I really think that most people do it for the greater good. And then there are the exceptions who just do it because they want brownie points and cookies.
I think everyone does it because they want brownie points. If you look, this is a different topic for a different day. It is. But if you're the kind of person to genuinely want good in the world, then after you do your good deed, you don't brag about it. And yet.
That is so true. So true. But then also, yet, like, there's Facebook and Twitter, and so people do that all the time. What?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not defending them. I think it's obnoxious. Oh, by the way,
I made a church comment earlier. I don't want people to think that the reason that I think people go to church is to feel like they have a sense of belonging. I just use that as like I did in the last episode.
I imagine it gives you a sense of belonging. I mean,
oh, it does. But I'm
going to synagogue. It used to give me a sense of belonging.
Yeah, but that's not the only reason you did it.
No.
That's what I'm saying. I think the only reason people do this kind of thing usually is to make themselves feel better. I think there's a ton of very good reasons to go to church or synagogue or what have you.
I think it was a very bad comparison. Super, super cynical.
It is, but I believe it. I don't think that the people who the louder you are about how woke you are, the more that's true. All you're doing is being self-centered. You don't care about issues. You don't. You don't.
Oh, you mean like how we were talking the other day about how if you're yelling from the rooftops that you're a male feminist, then probably you're a creep.
Yes, that too. But I'm serious. I know that sounds cynical, but I really believe that people who do good, people who act good, people who are genuinely kind-hearted don't need to brag about it.
Yeah, it should never be about the recognition.
And if you do, that doesn't mean that you can't be good. But I'm saying if you're doing it to do that, you're not good. You're not. Even if what you're saying is a good thing.
You're not bad. You're just not doing it for the best reasons.
You, in that instance, are that guy. Come full circle.
Man, everybody hates that guy.
I'm just saying, like, I that's, like I said, that's a slightly different topic, but I really, like, I don't know, man.
So have we come to a conclusion on when you're being that guy and when you're genuinely doing the right thing? Is it always the right thing to correct somebody? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, that's what I was getting at. Don't worry. I cut you off enough. You're allowed to cut me off. I don't. Like,
he acknowledges it.
I do. Yeah.
What?
God, that's so hard. I don't think that correcting someone makes you quote unquote that guy. I don't think not correcting someone makes you an accomplice or an enabler or, like, you know, complacent. I think if you think that, then you just don't believe in shades of gray. Like, the world's not that black and white. But I do think that, you know, if you're correcting someone for the sake of it, just probably don't do it. But if you're correcting someone because something genuinely bothers you and you have a reason for it bothering you, then do it. But be prepared to defend yourself. But I mean, that's what you want, right?
Be prepared to fight to the death.
No, I don't mean. I don't.
No,
mean
I know
like
what
that,
you mean.
I guess that's my final takeaway, too.
I'm not even sure that I'm 100% comfortable with what I was going to say for my final takeaway, which is do what makes you comfortable. Because sometimes you need to have hard conversations and they're not comfortable. So,
yes,
I think actually my final takeaway is take each situation as it comes. It's very context dependent. If you do not speak up in the moment, don't spend the rest of your life beating yourself up. And if you do speak up, be proud of yourself, even if it doesn't go well.
I would generally agree with that. Yes. Good. Yes. Yes.
Be proud of yourself, but don't be that guy. Don't go brag about it on Twitter.
There's a fine line. Like, it's just don't fill yourself with hubris. Don't inflate your ego. You know, there's too many of that. It's too much of that. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. This was a topic.
I mean, it wouldn't be an Accessible Stole episode if it didn't spin out into 40 more separate episodes.
True. I'm almost surprised that this didn't come up way sooner, considering how long we've been doing this.
Yeah, I know. It's a genuinely good question, and I don't think it's an easy one to answer.
And I think we may need to come back to it at some point, because I'm not 100% satisfied with where we ended up. But that's not because I'm unhappy with the conversation. It's because there's so much to pick away at here, or, you know, there's a lot to unpack here.
Ask us again how we feel about this in about 4 months, and we'll probably have an entirely different episode. Anyway, on that note,
thanks so much for listening.
This has been another episode of The Accessible Soul. I'm Kyle.
Love you.
She's Emily, and we love you. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.